And welcome to Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we will get you set for Monday Night Football, Giants and the Eagles. We'll get you up to date with the latest injury news, and we will take your phone calls at 201-939-4513. You could also hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Let's start with the injury report. Tom Coughlin spoke about a half hour ago, and positive news on that front, Jeff.
What?
Big positive.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Positive?
Positive news.
Hey! We like positive news when
Indeed.
It comes to injuries.
John Beeson has been cleared from a concussion. He will take part in today's workouts, and Jonathan Casillas will also be back on the field after missing some time. And they have been dealing with a number of injuries, Jeff, specifically at that linebacking core. So, I mean, this is at least a big boost to get additional personnel on the field.
Well, additional, I didn't hear Kennard. Is Kennard?
No, Kennard is still a no-go.
So that's the one you kind of wish, but you can't have everything you wish for.
Correct.
Lance. But getting those two guys back, especially, Beeson, because he had the concussion. You don't know how that was going to happen or how he's going to get back. So, you know, and he brings so much to that defense. And then you got Castillas, who missed last game, and now he's back in because, you know, the linebackers, they're thin. They're thin. So that is good news. And, you really saw last week, Lance, how without Beeson in there and Kennard, this defense for the Giants, their rush defense, which has been outstanding all season, took a little hit. They dropped to number two in the
yes.
league this year, giving up 80 yards a game now. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But, you know, then I'll let you keep going. I'll let you keep going
you
on
continue.
The injury stuff. So.
George Selvey and Robert Ayers got through practice okay on Thursday, so they will be back in the mix today. And that was a big test for the two of them. Selvey and Ayers have missed some time. Selvey was dealing with the calf, then you had Ayers with the hamstring. So, you know, the key, Jeff, with some of these injuries is it's not so much, you know, can we get them out on the practice field? It's can we get them out on the practice field? Can they get through that first initial day?
And Ayers hasn't been able to get through that. It seems to me like his injuries have always been coming when he gets back on the practice field. It's always later in the week. It's all of a sudden on Friday or Saturday we find out that he's, you know, he re-aggravated whatever injury it was. But what's the deal with the calf this year? It's the year of the calf.
The year of the calf.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
It's
a lot of players dealing with that.
Yeah, but I mean, to get Selvey back, he's good against the run. So that'll help against DeMarco Murray and their rejuvenated offense, so to speak. Their running game now, I guess, is supposed to be – this is what it was supposed to be at the very beginning when it wasn't and they were averaging like, you know, a half an inch a carry – at the beginning of the year, you know what I mean? So, but Selvey's going to help, you know.
Yes.
I mean, really, he had like for three games, he was averaging like
DeMarco Murray.
Yards.
Well, Murray's still averaging under 3 yards per carry, so they're not where they want to be.
No, I don't want to be, I'm not laughing at the guy because the guy was a leading rusher in the NFL last year. But, you know, by the way, he probably had a pretty good offensive line last year. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens this week. But the Giants having Selvey back will help.
Correct.
And even Ayers.
And you did make a good point. I mean, Philadelphia is coming off its best performance on the ground this season.
Well, look at both these teams. I read in my notes and stuff, this is the ninth time since 1950 that two teams coming off 500-plus yard offensive performances in the previous week will face each other. That's pretty impressive. Since 1950.
50, yes.
That's
you remember the NFL back then.
I was thinking that was about right the time when I was thinking maybe one day I'd like to play in the NFL in 1950.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just to put the time in perspective here.
For those trying to figure it out, that really wasn't. Okay. I was born in 66, so don't think that's actually what it was. So. And Sam Bradford's facing Steve Spagnuolo's defense for the first time. Well, not really.
Well, he's been going up against it in practice for a few years when he was with the St. Louis Rams.
But in a real game, yeah.
Well, what is interesting, though, it's the second time that Spags is going up against Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles, because the two of them were on the staff together in St. Louis. Spags was the head coach. Shurmur was the offensive coordinator. They had gone up against each other the first time when Shurmur became the head coach of the Cleveland Browns in 2011, and then obviously Spags was still with the Rams. So this will be the second time the chess match
they've
will
gone
be
up
taking place.
Against each other. When I hear that, it reminds me of boxing. Like these guys are in the locker room and they're going up against each other. You know, like I wonder if Spax has a nice uppercut or you know, and
well,
Shurmur
has a scouting report on
whatever
that.
It is.
Yeah.
But you know, and sometimes you kind of wonder, like, all right, so Spagnuolo was the head coach and Shurmur was the he kind of understands a little bit about his mythology, you know, how he thinks in a game and thing, you know, to go of that sort. So it could be interesting, but you know, that's all on paper.
Well,
you play the game.
Correct. Well, and you hit it right on the nose because Shurmur spoke to the media earlier this week and the Philadelphia reporters were questioning him, how much of an edge is it? And he said, hey, the player's still got to play the game.
Yeah.
And Spags is going to address the media today because everybody's moved back a little bit because of the schedule this week.
Yeah, today's
sure
a Wednesday.
Say the
today's,
same thing.
Today's a Thursday.
Yeah.
It's really a Friday, but it's a Thursday from football Giants camp.
Which means that tomorrow is GPS day, just so that you understand the schedule, which is what they normally do on Friday. And then Sunday, they're going to have an intense walkthrough.
Intense.
Correct. Walk-through. And then they're going to leave to go to Philadelphia in anticipation of the Monday night game. Just a few more notes in terms of the injury report. Odell Beckham not ready to go, but head coach Tom Coughlin is hopeful that perhaps Sunday he could take part in that intense walkthrough. Reuben Randall has shown some progress, so that's a positive from that perspective. You know, those were the main key players that were listed on the injury report at this time, and we know about Prince Amukamara 2 to 4 weeks due to the torn pectoral muscle, the partial torn pectoral muscle. So that means that Jayron Hosley is going to have an opportunity, Jeff, to step in. And, you know, Hosley, who started out his career in the slot, moved to the outside this season, Jeff, and he filled in for DRC earlier this season when DRC suffered the concussion against the Redskins. And, you know, he started to grab the attention of this coaching staff for good reasons. And they have been certainly bringing out his play because they've been impressed with how he's held his ground so far.
And he played those two games for DRC because one of them, you know, they went right at the beginning of the game. He went out and here's a guy that was, you know, on the cusp of really not making this team this season. The switch from corner to, from slot to outside for him was tremendous.
Yeah.
I think that's where they being the coaches realized that, hey, we got to give this kid a chance. We drafted him in the third round. He's got all the tools and the skills and all that, but maybe we've been playing him out of position. So they give him a chance to go in there and really compete at that outside corner position. And he did well. And I think that he continues to get better, and I think the coaching staff have been impressed. Not only that, but the guy has just grown up a little bit. You know, he gets suspended for, you know, 4 games for whatever he was doing, and as you kind of get in this league, you understand how things work. You understand that when you're at the end of your career, let it be 4 years, that, you know, you may not be able to get back in as if you don't prepare and do the things you're supposed to do as a football player. And I think that Jayron Hosley has done that this last offseason coming into this year. And I think he understands and he's grown up a little bit. Good for him.
I agree with you. I think he's got a different mindset. I think also, Jeff, the fact that it's a brand new defense has given him a fresh outlook.
Right.
That's also been a positive. And, you know, he has dealt with an injury here or there, but he's been healthy for the most part. And remember, over the last few years, Hosley also has struggled to stay on the field because of health issues.
Sure.
So that also has been a hurdle that he's overcome this year.
All of that together. But I think the bottom line is the guy is playing good football, and the coaches have confidence in him starting. Him and McBride will they'll get in there and they'll do a good job. But they're not a prince. They're not Prince. The Eagles are. They know that, and they'll challenge him. But he has to challenge himself to make some plays. So if they're gonna go after me, I'm gonna say, then you know what? You're gonna get hurt. And I'm gonna make a play on you. And that's the kind of attitude he's got
to
have.
And that's going to be a matchup to watch because, Jeff, when you look at the Philadelphia numbers, Jordan Matthews, their top wide receiver who took over for Jeremy Maclin, who left via free agency to sign with the Chiefs, he's got 30 receptions and pretty much leads the team in every statistical category in terms of the receiving core. But everybody else, the rest of the receiving core, has added up to 28 receptions. I'm talking about Miles Austin, Riley Cooper,
Josh Huff,
Nelson Aguilar. 28 receptions combined with all four of those weapons compared to Matthews, who has 30. There is somewhat of a disparity in terms of what Matthews has brought to the table versus what the rest of the receiving corps has brought to the table. Now, that doesn't mean you sleep on this group.
No,
because you leave them open, they'll make you pay. But there hasn't been that consistency that we've seen in previous years from the Eagles' wide receivers.
Well, I think, too, when you go back and study last week's game against the New Orleans Saints that the Eagles beat, that Sam Bradford really distributed the ball finally to a bunch of receivers. So, you know, that kind of gets you a little excited if you're an Eagles fan because these guys are getting the ball a little bit more. But, yeah, you don't sleep on any of these guys because they got 500 yards of total offense. which is supposed to be what this team does every week.
Yeah.
We've heard about the, you know, the offense of the Eagles, but they, you know, I'm not sold on this team. I think this is going to be a tough game to win on the road for the Giants going down there. But I just don't feel like this team has any confidence, even though that they won last week against a New Orleans team that unbelievably won last night. But I don't think New Orleans is a very good team. So to me, if I'm the Eagles, I don't have a great confidence in beating the New Orleans Saints. However, the Giants, on the other hand, coming off a three-game winning streak and knowing how to win games now, I think that they're just more confident, and it shows me that, you know, will I be surprised if the Giants win? No. Will I be surprised if the Giants lose? No. I think it's one of those games where it's going to be a close game, and it's for anybody's taking, but I think that the Giants have the advantage here because they have the better quarterback. I think they have a better team. The only thing that's going to hurt them, Lance, are these injuries at the wide receiver position, because even if Odell Beckham and Reuben Randle come back, they're certainly not 100%. But I'll take an 80% Odell Beckham.
Absolutely. Well, he's going to draw attention. Whether he's 80%, he's 100%. That's why he's so important.
And then you get the tight ends and the backs involved in the offense. And, you know, and you try to run the football. I mean, maybe this is the week that they rely on their running game and try to get something going in that.
Philadelphia is number 10 against the run. They're surrendering 97 yards. The Giants, as you referenced earlier, are number 2. But what's interesting, if you look at Philadelphia, you were talking about where the confidence, the mindset of the Eagles stands right now. I would agree with you. You know, even though they're coming off by far their most impressive performance, Jeff, it's been very Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Oh, yeah.
Because they beat the Jets, if you remember, in Week 3, only to then lose to the Redskins by 3 points. So they haven't really been able to build off of the momentum. However, if you look at their 2 victories versus their 3 losses, they've run the ball effectively. Jeff, in their 2 wins, over 150 yards, whereas in the 3 losses, they've averaged just about 50 yards. So if you look at the matchup, hey, the Giants are number 2 against the run. If you take away that run, you make Philadelphia one-dimensional. You don't allow them to milk the clock. I mean, they're dead last in time of possession as it is.
Sure.
But stopping the run is so key in this game, because that, to me, is the difference maker for that Philadelphia offense.
Well, I think, you know, every week these coaches game plan. They look at the games that they played previously. So I think the Eagles are going to look at a little bit of what the 49ers did rushing the football against the Giants last week. Now, they have a quarterback that rushed. Excuse me. You know, Sam Bradford is no Colin Kaepernick, okay? But Carlos Hyde and DeMarco Murray are pretty good running backs. So I think that the Eagles will take a little bit of what the 49ers did to the Giants rushing the ball, because previously nobody's been able to run on the 49ers. Run on the Giants. Last week the 49ers did. So you're going to look a little bit of that. And you look at numbers, and numbers don't lie, and trends don't lie. The fact is that if they can run the football, they can win the games. But it's going to be tough going to run the football on this defense, especially if Beeson is back in there and Castillas is playing. You know, I think it hurts him if Kennard's not going to be in there. But and let's not forget, you know, just because Prince Amukamara is out there on the corner and covering guys, he's actually very, very good in the run defense, too. He's a good tackler.
Yeah.
And so, Hosley, that's something he's going to have to button up. He's going to have to be a better tackler, because he's not the greatest tackler like Prince is.
That's a great point. Everybody talks about the front 7, Jeff, but the reason why the Giants have been so effective against the run is the corners. But let's also not forget Landon Collins,
great
Brandon
tackler.
Merriweather. I mean, those guys are also helping.
They're good. They're good tacklers.
The
All those guys in the secondary are good tacklers. And I tell you, if they do miss a tackle, they're a swarming secondary. You know, those guys are right there to come in and make the tackle afterwards. So. But, you know, that's something that just not really looked at a lot of times by certain people, is that the ability to be able to stop the run on the outside with your corners and your slot guys and your safeties. It's not just those front 7. It's those guys behind you, too, that need to tackle good.
We want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to play for free today. Stay tuned a little bit later on. Jeff will give you his 3 top players to look for in DraftKings entering this weekend. But right now, we want to open up the phone lines, hear from you at 201-939-4513, hashtag GiantsChat. Joe is in Pennsylvania. He gets us going here on Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Joe, what's happening?
Hi, guys. They're great to talk to you. Talking about this momentum you said here, who it favors and this and that, I would think the Eagles, the one thing you're forgetting there, Jeff, they have had our number.
Of course.
Eli does not have a record against the Eagles. I think the key, it ain't going to be running the ball. It's going to be who's backfield and tight end outdoes the other one in the dump off the passes. I am not afraid of the Eagles receivers. I've seen them just in the every game, just in the one game of Washington that Bradford went a little deep there, you know. But basically, it's all dump offs too, and that's what happened to us in the 49er game. They dumped it off, you know, and that's the key. We got a, you know, Matthews is their runner. The other guy from Dallas there, he hasn't been doing nothing, you know, but him and Sproles are the guy we got to stop. We got to win on specialty teams and on offense when we're there. We got to block Fletcher Cox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the key there. And I really think who you look at the end of the game, who's backfield and tight ends have more receptions and production, I think that's going to be the key to the game. So,
well, Joe, appreciate the phone call. I would agree with you about the tight ends. Zach Ertz and Brent Celek are coming off their best performance of the season. And the Giants have had trouble, Jeff, in guarding the tight end this year.
And Celek, he scores a lot against versus the Giants. He really does. Yeah, I mean, every week it's some tight end gets involved. And so you got to look at, you know, those two guys. One thing about these two teams is obviously we know about the Giants being in the red zone. They're not very good in the red zone. They continue to struggle down there. And the Eagles' defense is, you know, okay. They're not the greatest. So let's see what gives there. And the other thing about the Eagles is that Sam Bradford likes to give up the ball in the red zone. I mean, he's thrown a couple – I think he threw two picks last week in the red zone. So, you know, this is kind of – some things that jump out on this statute is in the red, you know, and that's the third downs is another one that the New York offense is their 30th in the league on third downs, and so is the Philly defense. So both of those are pretty close.
Yeah, the Eagles' third down efficiency is 28%, and their defense is tied for 26%. Opponents are converting on 42% of their third down. So Philadelphia's had issues on both sides of the ball on third down.
And for the Giants, I think that, you know, you kind of want to keep this Eagles defense on the field. You know, get them tired because they're not – you know, the formula for the Eagles offense is fast-paced tempo. You know, the Giants need to convert some of those third downs and keep the pace of the game going so that they can keep the – you know, run that Eagles defense into the ground and get them tired so – in the fourth quarter, they wear out a little bit.
Well, the Eagles are holding the ball for just over 25 minutes a game. So that's dead last in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
But see, the key is, and this is what you just hit on, Jeff, when they've run the ball, they have held the ball for over 30 minutes. So it's way above their average. That's why if you stop the run and you force them into those third and longs and you get them off the field, then you're right. The Eagles' defense is going to be on the field much longer, and then the Eagles' offense is going to have a low time of possession. And normally when they have a low time of possession, it wears down the defense, and Philadelphia has come out on the losing end. That's been what the numbers have shown so far this season.
Absolutely. So, you know, just conversion. And really, when you think about some of the improvements that the Giants' offenses have done here, is their third down conversion rate, whatever it is, but their third downs are not third and 13, third and 10, third and 9. They're at third and 4, third and 3, because they're making some good progress on first and second downs from both running the football and throwing the football via the, you know, it's almost like a short little 3-yard pass is as good as a 3 or 4-yard run. So they're able to execute that type of a play, setting them up in some short third downs, which really does well for that Giants offense. And some of the conversions. So they don't like to run the ball on third down. We've seen that. Third and one, third and two. They always are passing it, but they're completing them. So
if it moves the chains, you don't get
whatever
any
way you
points,
do it, man.
Whether you run it or you pass it.
Exactly.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Mike is on the line. Mike, what's happening?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, Jeff, Lance. Good morning to you.
Morning
good
to you,
morning.
Mike. What do you got for us?
Afternoon for us, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Hey, I got a lot of stuff for you, so you're probably going to have to shut me down. But
we will.
But I want to thank you for for the good news because, you know, hearing Beast and Casillas, Selvi Ayers all practicing and back, you know, we got to get in Bradford's head this week. And with Beeson leading the running defense, it's way more stout with him in there. Ayers providing some more pressure. You know, our chance to win is just so much better than without those guys.
Well, I will tell you this. you know, you say you want to get in Bradford's head. There's no better person to get into Bradford's head than Steve Spagnuolo, right? I mean, he knows Bradford.
Yeah.
And so he's though he's a defensive coach, he was the head coach. He sat in meetings. He understands what, you know, when they would lose games when he was the coach, he would know why they lost games if it was Sam Bradford. So I think that bodes well for this Giants team, because if there's one person that can get in his head, it's going to be Spagnuolo, and how what kind of a weaknesses he knows and what type of a mentality that he has, that, you know, what can I do to get in this kid's head? I know, because when I was coaching, he wasn't winning games for me. He got me fired.
Yeah, no kidding. And, well, you know, I'll take whatever we can get, because after what happened last year and, you know, frankly, our recent history against the Eagles, you know, hey, any advantage we've got.
It's been tough. Yeah.
So the other couple things, you know, just in the defensive back, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking to see Prince go out again. He was having a great season, and you know, I know his personal goal this year was to play 16 games. So, you know, sorry to see that, but at least it's an injury that he's going to come back from, unlike the last couple years where it seemed like every time one of our key players got injured, bam, lost for the year. So I'm glad at least we'll be getting him back, right?
Well, we're holding our breath on that.
I want to talk about the cornerbacks in that I just wanted to give Jaron Hosley some credit, because in that Bills game, you know, I think Lance was saying he's not a great tackler, but it seemed like on special teams, Hosley was all over the place in that game, and that really jumped out to me, because I didn't remember seeing that before.
Well, I agree with you, Mike. I mean, we were actually very complimentary of Hosley this season. I thought he stood out for a lot of the good reasons that you just touched on in terms of him stepping in for DRC, tackling, covering, too. I mean, he's been like glue over the wide receivers that he's had to match up with. So, I mean, he's taken his play to a whole other level this season. And Tom Coughlin has noted that. Spags has noted that. Because whenever they are asked questions about Hosley, it's not just, yeah, you know what, he's improving. It's specifics. We've seen this on film. We've seen this in practice in terms of his work ethic, and he's then applying that to the game. So he's made huge strides in multiple facets of his game.
Yeah, I see that. And, you know, the other thing I was kind of wondering is, you know, Tremaine McBride last game got pulled, and Trevin Wade got a bunch more snaps than him. And I know he's been fighting a groin injury. And just because, you know, I got a lot of confidence in McBride, and I'm kind of wondering if that groin injury is nagging him, because otherwise it's hard for me to see that Trevin Wade is outperforming him, you know, at the position.
Yeah, I mean, we're not out there every day for practice, so it could be. You know, anytime a guy gets pulled out of the game, most of the time it's because he's not doing his job. But, you know, right, it could have been, you know, something got tweaked in his hamstring. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, McBride and Hosley need to step up their game, because now that Prince is out. And I think they can. I think those guys have proved that they can make plays. I mean, they both have interceptions. They you know, they make some big plays. And they got to continue to do that against the Eagles this week. Because you know, this team has dominated the Giants over, you know, so many years now. I mean, even going back to last year, it was 34-26 on December 28th last year. And Jordan Matthews caught 8 passes for 105 yards, and that was against Mark Sanchez. Now, that was a different team, but we'll see what happens.
It was 27-0 in Philadelphia,
yeah,
too.
Different defenses here, and I'm just really hoping that some of disguised blitzes pop up and some things. And, you know, like you said, turnovers. I don't – red zone, green zone – you know, all over the field, wherever. But this defense has been really good at turning the ball over, so I hope they do it again. So the other thing I wanted to ask you guys about, I know you're limited in what you can say about personnel, but Senor Ruiz and I have been throwing stuff back and forth on Twitter about Julian Talley, because we both thought he had a really good preseason. We thought he looked, you know, excellent. Here's a guy who's like 3 years on the team, so he knows the system. So I guess I was really surprised to see him bring in Miles White and put him out there on the field with, you know, I know he was in Green Bay, but still, this isn't exactly that system. So, you know, do you guys have anything to say about, you know, Julian Talley and the performance that you've seen him put on, and maybe why he's not first option to get on the field for our receiving core?
I don't. I know that he has been around here a while, and that, you know, he's shown that he can play. But there's something missing there, and I don't know what it is. And, you know, I don't have a real reason why they, you know, they got the guy from Green Bay, other than the fact that if you take him off the practice squad, you have to put him on the active roster. So that's one thing you have to do. It's not like it can take you from the practice squad and then just bring you over to the team. He's got to go on the active roster. So that's one reason why you saw him there. The other reason why you saw him on the field was because of what happened to the other guys. You know, I mean, there was just nobody there to play at the end of that game last week. So, but Julian Talley, he knows the system. Like you said, I think he's a good, he can be a good player, but I just think the coaching staff maybe just lacks a little confidence in him somewhere.
Got it. So I appreciate all the time. So I'll just leave you with this, with one little thing, which is without Kennard, Darren Sproles has given me Brian Westbrook nightmares.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you can kind of both those guys give you nightmares. They gave they both gave me nightmares because I kicked the both of them, you know.
Okay.
And, yeah, they're dangerous players, not only in the special teams department, but just on the field. And Darren Sproles against this defense – it's a lot like, you know, Shane Vereen against some other defenses. There's no way to stop him, really. You just got to prevent him from making the big play. You know, you just keep him in front of you because he's going to get his yards. He's going to get his carries. He's going to get all that. You just do not want to let him get over the top on you or make a play. The thing about him is he's so shifty, you got to bring him down, or that's when he turns that you know, what you think is going to be a tackle into a big play.
Yeah, you got to get him near the line of scrimmage.
Oh, it's so hard.
I hope it happens. Appreciate the time. Go Giants.
All right, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. And Darren Sproles has returned the punt 89 yards this season for a touchdown. He did that against the Jets in week number 3. So we've seen his big playmaking ability already this year. Key guy that they need to hone in on, not just in terms of the offense, Jeff, but on special teams.
Yeah, because he's just an ultimate threat every single time he touches a football. Now, listen, when special teams, you got the 11 guys that are on special teams, and there's, you know, the guys that are covering are on special teams for a reason. They're not a lot of them are starters. They're core special teams players. So Darren Sproles is most likely a better athlete than all of those guys. So you got to be able to be on your best behavior with him. And what I mean by that is you're going to give up a little bit, but you got to make sure that your fundamentals and your responsibilities and your techniques are there.
Well disciplined.
Very well disciplined, especially covering. You know, you can't get inside when you want to. You got to stay in your lane, and you got to kind of, you know, that's what happens on big returns. It's because one, the guy makes a great play. Two, it's blocked well, and the third and the biggest one is the guys they're out of position. They either go inside when they're supposed to stay outside, and that creates a void in the coverage, and that's when the guy hits it. Because those returners, they can read, they can see it. They've seen so many times the guys running down trying to cover them. It's kind of like a sixth sense. They understand where the crease is, and if somebody has done something wrong, they're going to hit it and exploit it, and then it's gone.
The integrity of the gap, once it's broken,
it's done. And then guess what? Then you got to rely on someone like me to make the tackle? Forget about it. It ain't happening.
Well, it's entertaining to the fans to watch.
Well, of course, yeah. But not entertaining to me because your whole net average for the whole season is gone.
Those
on
numbers.
A kick return.
The numbers need to be pristine.
Yeah.
You need to maintain that.
Yeah.
Mike, the last caller, asked about Tremaine McBride. This is from Tom Coughlin's conference call on Monday. This is exactly what he was asked. Did Tremaine McBride re-injure his groin? Tom Coughlin's answer, no, I think he came out of it okay. Then he was asked the follow-up question, why was Trevin Wade in at the end? Tom Coughlin said, because he's a good football player and we decided to give him an opportunity there. So that's what he's on the record in terms of addressing McBride and Wade in terms of them coming in and out for one another throughout the course of the last game. Let's head back to the phone lines. Drew is in Virginia. Drew, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Jeff, John, Lance, how you doing?
You went close, Drew.
He was close.
Good afternoon, Jeff. John Lance.
He recovered, so we got to give him a pat on the back for that.
Hey, man, first and foremost, man, we need to start calling this team to walk the New York MASH unit. I mean, boy, we can't stay healthy, man. You know, the previous call already beat me to it, man, and you've said it 1,000 times, Jeff.
All right, let's go to the next call then. What are we waiting for, Drew?
Yeah, we said it all.
Yeah, he said it already. Well, we got to hear it again.
Philly just owns us, man. So, yeah, this game scares me to death. I mean, it really does. I think that, you know, if the Giants is going to win this game, it's obviously going to have to be on offense because I don't mean no harm when I say this. I just really don't have any faith in this defense at all. I just really think that's where it's going to be won. Jeff, I got a question for you, man.
Sure.
You played for the Eagles for a while, and you know it's the same thing. The Eagles just seem to own the Giants. What is – I mean, you know, as a player, can you tell me what that mindset is?
Well, I think that, you know, the longer you play on a team, for some of the veterans that play that, you know, have been on the team 3 or 4 years and understand that, you know, God, how do we beat this team? How do we beat this team? You just got to keep – pressing on, but you do get a little bit of a mentality when you're going down there because it's, you know, it's a tough place to play. I mean, both when I was with the Eagles, I mean, at the old Vet, it was a tough place for guys to come in and play there. The Giants going down the road, you know, even though you get on the buses and go down the turnpike, but it's just you want to kind of, you almost want to do something to take your mind away from, you know, all of this stuff because and this is the stuff that gets you. And, you know, turn off the TVs, turn off the social media. You know, don't listen to Jeff Eagles telling you that you've been beat 14-11 out of the last 14, whatever it is.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? So it is tough in today's world to get away from that. But I think what can help is the fact, and I've said this before, is that what this team has done the last 2 weeks, they went and won a big game on the road in Buffalo, and they won a game where they had to come back at home and win. That confidence can maybe get them over the top from all this stat stuff that we keep throwing out.
Well, I certainly hope so, man, because like you said, you know, and the stats don't lie. The numbers is just laughingly lopsided.
It is.
That said, again, I do think that, you know, I mean, this defense has got to show up. Or, you know, they got to do something. And, again, the other thing for me is the lack of the our fourth quarter defense. And I've said this before a number of times. Let me just make this statement. I wanted to say it Tuesday when I called in, but I didn't get a chance. You know, I mean, it's obvious that, you know, your secondary is only as good as your pass rush. And you know, by us not having a pass rush, I think what happens to the Giants is by the time the fourth quarter comes around, everybody's so wore down trying to get to, you know, the quarterback that now they're tired. And I don't care who you are in the secondary, okay, you can have a team of Revis's back there. You're not going to, you know, hold a receiver in check for that long. And by us not having a pass rush there, it just gives the quarterback time and, you know, a ton of time. I mean, you know, I go back to Tony Romo's 7 seconds last year. But, you know, the point is you can't give anybody that much time and expect your secondary to hold up. And I just think at the end of the fourth quarter, I mean, when it gets to the fourth quarter, this team just runs out of gas. And now we definitely can't get there. And then quarterbacks are sitting there, you know, hey, now we got this time. You know, it's desperation time. And next thing you know, teams are marching down the field. Can you kind of go over that with me? And I'll take that answer off the air.
All right, Drew. Appreciate the phone call. I was going to say that's why it's key to also get guys like Selvey and Ayers back, Jeff, because it's not so much what they individually could do for the pass rush, but what Drew was alluding to. Now you have extra guys in the rotation to keep fresh throughout the course of the game. Remember, when you lose two guys like that, it hurts your depth chart.
Sure.
So now you have two experienced players who have a knack for stopping the run, specifically getting to the quarterback. Now Spags has a few more weapons that he can rotate in and out of the contest to keep the guys fresh come the fourth quarter.
And I think that, you know, the last 2 weeks, you know, we talked about Taylor and Kaepernick both making plays, quarterbacks that can make plays with their feet and their legs. So the defensive line becomes a little bit more disciplined in their approach as far as not really pinning their ears back and just trying to go after this guy and get sacks. So I think the last 2 weeks, it's more importantly to know that they were getting pressure on the quarterback rather than getting sacks on the quarterback. This week coming in here, I think it would be a great opportunity with this offensive line for the Eagles and Bradford not being as mobile to try to get some sacks. But the problem you have is that the Giants like to get sacks through blitzing. Well, they don't do that very well either. And now that they're one of their best blitzing linebackers out of the lineup in Kennard, you got to kind of take a different approach and say, well, now what are we going to do? And I think it throws more onus on the defensive line this week to say, okay, you know what? Maybe let's do a little bit something different stunt-wise and to get through there because we got to rely on our linebackers back there to cover and do something that way. So I think every week it changes until you're going to get that week where everybody's healthy and you go against a quarterback that's in the pocket, and then you can try to maybe get some of those sacks. But you know, I think that this it's kind of a crazy defense when you think about it, Lance. Yeah. They're number one, number two in the NFL in stopping the run, but they're dead last in the pass. So, you know, I mean, if you're a team like the Eagles and you say, I got their best cornerback out of the lineup, they got one of their best linebackers that's not going to be playing, that likes to rush us, you know, what are we going to do? We're gonna throw the football, even though we got DeMarco Murray. But you just now it goes back to what you just said. Well, when we run the football, we win games. So
that's why I would be stunned if they completely neglect the running game. Nobody does that.
I think that the Giants last week saw a team like the 49ers that said, we are going to challenge the New York Giants defense to stop us from running the football. And this is the National Football League. Those guys all get paid. And so the challenge was there, and they succeeded. They ran the football. Well, you know what? The Eagles are going to do the same thing this week. They're going to say, we got DeMarco Murray, and we're back, and now we're going to run the football. And until they stop us, then we'll start passing the football. Because they can always go back on the fact that you guys are horrible in the pass defense. We can always go to that. But go ahead and try to stop us running the football. If we can run, we're going to run. If then on third down, we'll get third and three, third and fours, and we'll just dink and dunk you down, and then we'll put our defense on the field, and you guys go play.
Let's head back to the phone lines, 201-939-4513. Ken is in New Jersey.
Kenny,
what's happening?
What's up, bud?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Ken.
Long-time listener, second-time caller. I called yesterday. Good to hear that we're getting Beeson back and Casillas. I stated yesterday that if we didn't at least have one of those guys, or Beckham or Randall, that there's really no hope for this game on Monday.
I'm thinking you might get all four of them.
And if we get all four of them, I have no doubt in my mind we're going to hand them.
Good.
I live over here in Trenton, New Jersey. I'm an Eagles Nation. Don't ask me why.
Well,
I catch flack every year, just every year. And I'm a diehard Giants fan. I'm probably the only Giants fan that actually has a replica Super Bowl ring from Eli Manning's 2011 Super Bowl. But that's besides the point. I'm really happy to hear that everybody was, you know, working out yesterday and doing what they could on the practice field. I don't know what everybody's so worried about. I mean, everybody's talking about last year. Well, this isn't the same Eagles team last year.
No.
I remember in week two, their defense was so worn out in the fourth quarter they couldn't even stand up this year. And if we do that to them, there's no doubt in my mind that we're gonna win this game. We have all the momentum on our side. We have more talent on our team and a hell of a lot more hustle. If there's anything I've seen this past couple of games, it's hustle out of our team, no matter who's on the field.
Yeah, you're definitely right. I mean, this team plays physical, and they're around the football, and they got a lot of speed, and they play hard. Absolutely.
Yeah. If everybody gives us 100% and hustles to the ball, I don't see how we could lose this game, let alone be worried about it.
I think how they win this game this week is what they've been doing defensively, and that's getting turnovers. And
And Sam Bradford's new. He's not shy to throw an interception
or
cough up the football.
Not at all. So they got.
If we do that, we'll be good to go.
Yep.
I know he threw two interceptions last week against the Saints, but, you know, that was the Saints. I know they played good last night, and they really messed me up on DraftKings, but, you know, this Eagle team doesn't have the confidence that they used to have. And the fans don't have the confidence in Chip Kelly that they used to have. So I really think if we go out there and score two touchdowns off the bat, the air will come out of that stadium, and it'll be silent. Until their team maybe scores a touchdown.
Well, getting off to a fast start is a cliche that we hear all the time, but I think for this game specifically, it's fair to throw out the cliche, Ken, because the Eagles have actually struggled in the first quarter. I would say they actually have struggled in the first half. They're more of a second-half team. So if the Giants can maintain a lead and set the tempo early and put the Eagles in a very difficult hole that makes it very challenging for them to climb out of, I think that would bode very well for the Giants.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, guys, that's all I got. Thanks for letting me call. Pleasure.
You got it, Ken. Have a good day.
All right,
Ken.
Diehard Giants fan over here. Go Giants.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. We want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York. to claim your free entry today.
And by the way, I will be giving my DraftKings.com picks later on in the program here, and I've got them right here.
With a little few notes and stats.
A couple notes,
connected
you know,
to
I
each
mean,
one,
we
should mention.
Yeah, so we'll see how they go.
That's what we're going to tease throughout the course of the program.
Yeah, I'm sure that you'll be waiting.
The last caller just threw out a DraftKings terminology, too. Said he was playing last night. He wanted a better performance from the Saints. So I'm sure they will all be awaiting.
Well, he got it.
Yes. Well, they got a win. I don't know. I would say it's a tremendous performance. It was a lot of offense being given up.
Win.
It's true. DraftKings, though, is more about the individual statistics, Jeff. Not necessarily the wins and the losses in terms of the standings.
That's
Len
right.
Len is in Maryland, and Len, I'm sure, will break down the wins and the losses from every specific angle. Len, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Len?
First off, if Ernie Accorsi isn't in the Ring of Honor, he should be, and that's for obvious reasons. He made the trade, and we got Eli. And, starting on Monday night, rest of the season, and probably into next year, we're going to live and die and rise and fall on Eli's performance. And he's just, so far this year, it's been terrific. But thank God Ernie made that trade. Quick shout-out for Jeff Schwartz. The fact that we haven't heard his name in 3 weeks probably gives you an idea. The guy's playing better than he's played since he joined the Giants. Maybe it has something to do with his health. I'm sure that's a big part of it, and being back at his natural position there at right guard. And that's why we signed him. He was playing right guard in Kansas City, and we gave him all the big money because of his play there. And the last 3 weeks, I don't know if he's exactly where we think he's gonna be someday. But he's playing awfully well, and he's really helping that offensive line. Speed of the game and how quickly we're running things. And, Lance, I don't know if you have any statistics on that. This is really a tough one, and I don't want you to even bother to try to look up where we rank in this. But if there are two teams getting the ball off quicker than the Giants are, I'd be hard-pressed to find them. This team is just out of the huddle
they
and
have
up to the line of scrimmage, particularly Sunday against the 49ers. Jeez. Stat on that?
Yeah,
is there anybody?
Yeah, there's a stat on it. We just don't have it. But it's,
okay. Right.
What a way to answer that.
But I'll tell you what, I've seen it.
Take the time to look it up. But
take Jeff's word for it.
Boy,
he's
they're
seen
really
it, yeah.
getting the ball. And if there's anybody getting the ball, including Aaron Rodgers, if there's anybody getting the ball out of their hands quicker than Eli is this year, holy cow. It's fun to watch. It's been fun to watch.
You know what?
Go ahead.
No, you bring that up. I saw that. I saw that in that package. I didn't print the whole package out, but.
Well, where'd you see it? I have the whole document up. Do you remember?
It was on. So when they come up in the front, they say crazy stats for at the very, very beginning of the whole thing.
All right, I'll look to see if we can.
But
get
they
that
do have a statistic
here.
Of that, and the Giants and Eli particularly they're in the top two in the league getting the ball off.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm glad that was confirmed because it just seemed to me you can hardly put your head down. You got to watch the game.
Yeah.
Because the play is there, and they're up to the line of scrimmage, and he still takes a few seconds to look at the defense and get it lined up. But geez, it's really kind of refreshing. How many years have we been calling for that to happen? And then the speed of the ball coming out of his hand is just incredible. Listen,
I see no reason why we can't win
this game. I like the fact that we're getting a couple of guys back. Here's my one concern. And I also want to speak to something that Lance, if I have the time, Lance and John talked about on Monday.
I was here Monday, so it was
Jeff.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe it was you and John going. It was highly statistic oriented where you were talking about, the Giants only starting two drives.
Yeah, that was
the
on Tuesday.
Only
correct.
Starting two
yeah,
drives
Tuesday.
In Giants territory.
Yeah.
And how important field position was, and so forth, and. I got to thinking we're probably averaging one, maybe two more first downs per game. But, man, that makes a big difference from where you're punting the ball. And we have fewer three. It seems like we have fewer three and outs than we've had in the past. And, again, that's pinning the other teams back. What I'm a little concerned about, and Drew from Virginia talked about this also, geez, the number of long drives, 80-yard drives. If we could just cut the 80-yard drives against us in half, we'd win games easily. It just seems like everybody's driving the ball 80 yards. But let's keep the field position game going. Wing is doing a great job. We're getting those first downs so that he's punting from the 40 and not punting from the 10. And Jeff, you know, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, it
you
sucks,
know, you get field position.
From the 10.
We're covering the kicks well. We're covering those punts well. You know, we got to keep that going. At least we got a chance. You know, we can stay in it and keep this defense, you know, particularly in the fourth period, in this ball game where we can make a big play. One big concern with Prince out. This is not about you know, the quality of the guys who are playing, but just McBride, Hosley, and Wade. Geez, can you get any smaller in the NFL than these three guys? I mean, you put a height-weight combination together, and oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, 5'10", 180 for the three of them. If there are 20 guys in the league smaller than those three guys, how many guys are there in the league? 700 guys. If there's 20 smaller than those guys, that's my concern. It's going to be tough. Anything up high with those three guys, but like you said, Jeff, they're getting paid on Monday morning. Let's go. Let's make some plays. I think we win this game. Of course, I got to tell you, I always think the Giants are going to win, and that's why I don't play any of the other games. I don't do any gambling. Fantasy.
No, you just sit on your rocking chair, Lang. That's all you do. You sit on the rocking chair, you take it easy, and you prepare mentally and physically for the games each and every week. We know your routine.
Let's go, Giants. Let's beat the Eagles.
All right,
got it. Thank you.
Thanks for
appreciate
taking
the
call.
You got it.
Care.
As always, he makes a lot of good points.
Yes. In terms of the speed that Eli Manning is getting rid of the
did
football.
Did you find it?
No, I did not find the numbers. I was doing many different things
I'll
online.
What,
I could not find it. I will eventually come across the table. It'll always happen probably after we're done with the show. But from what I recall, there was a graphic, I believe, it was up on Sunday Night Football, one of the previous games, where, I mean, there was a point where Manning was getting rid of the ball within 2 seconds. So,
yeah.
I mean, that has been well documented this season. And the other thing I wanted to point out, Jeff, and it was interesting because Eli Manning spoke about this earlier this week. After last season ended, he said he had a conversation with Ben McAdoo, and McAdoo pointed out to him Brett Favre's numbers the first year in this offense, in that West Coast offense I'm talking about, versus what he did in the second year. And the second year numbers drastically improved
from
what year one showcased. And, you know, McAdoo brought that up to him immediately after the season just to say, hey, these are the goals. This is where we can get to.
Yeah.
By the time year two rolls around. And we're starting to see that because I think, you know, it's easy to throw out, oh, year two in the offense, you're more comfortable. But there's substance behind making those statements. If you look at his numbers, how he's protecting the football, Jeff, how Eli Manning's getting rid of the football, the quickness, how efficient this offense is moving.
Yeah.
Correct. It's fair to say, look at what happens when you have 1 year under your belt, under a brand new offense. Even if you're a seasoned veteran, Jeff, that 1 year just to test the waters, I think helps you immensely in terms of what he's producing now in year number two.
Well, he had to get away from a system that he ran for so long with Gilbride. And it's almost like, you know, you had to kind of, you know, exercise the demons, if you will, because there was things there that he had, you know, 9 years of that offense in there with Gilbride. And so then the new one comes in, and, you know, sometimes you get in situations as a player and it's deja vu, but you know what? It's not it's McAdoo. It's not Gilbride. And you kind of, you know, whoa, they're playing this, and I'm supposed to go here. And then all of a sudden the season goes by and you do your analysis on it, and Eli and McAdoo are in they're doing their thing in the meeting room, and they're talking. And then all of a sudden he pops that on him, and next thing you know, come into training camp, and you realize that Eli now is – this is no longer the Gilbride mindset. It's the McAdoo mindset, and things are starting to work, and it's starting to slow down. And I think the most important thing in my mind in this offense for Eli Manning is the fact that this to me is the key, is that they put that pressure on Eli to complete 70% passes. This offense, you can do that. It's a high number. But the fact is that by completing 70% passes, you're doing what Eli's doing now. You're not throwing the ball long down the field. You're getting up to the line of scrimmage. You're reading the coverage, and you're giving your best chance to complete a pass. The other thing is that I think in years past, Eli Manning has said to himself, I have to win games. I have to win games for these guys. And I think that now he understands he has personnel around him that he doesn't really have to win games. He just puts the ball in guys' hands that can win games.
Let them make plays for you.
Exactly. Shane Vereen.
Yeah.
You got Odell Beckham. And, you know, now you got Larry Donnell that made a great catch. I mean, these are type of things that take pressure off of a quarterback. And you say, you know what, I got these playmakers. Well, you know, Eli hasn't had this many playmakers and in a system that he feels comfortable with in the past.
So. 54 pass attempts last game. He completed 41 of them. Jeff, that was 76%.
There you go.
So it just goes to show you, he threw the ball 54 times and he was over 70% in terms of completion percentage, which that really jumped out to me more so than any other statistic out of Sunday's game.
And I think that, you know, him being able to have the latitude to come up to the line of scrimmage and run what we call the two-minute offense, but it's the no huddle, and it's just you come up there, and he's just one of those guys where he's so smart, and he understands what defenses are trying to do. The other thing is the reason why they come up to that line of scrimmage and get ready to snap the football is they want the defense to commit because there's so much disguise that goes on in the National Football League with defenses and coverages. You know, you got to be able to, if you're in the no huddle, you come up, the defense will guess sometimes. They'll get in something that they're not going to be in, and then they're going to think that the quarterback's going to check out of it, and he's going to think that that was their defense, and then they go to a different one. But I would tell you more often than not, it's the defense that is committing than the offense first. And what I mean by that is they can't sit there and play games all the time. They're going to get juiced all the time. So that's why they like to do the no huddle. And Eli's like an offensive coordinator out there. He has the play call, and he knows that if they're in this coverage and they commit to it, this either works or it doesn't work, and I go and I check out of it.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Lance Meadow, Jeff Fiegel's with you here on Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Dennis is in Florida. Dennis, what's happening?
Oh, hi.
What's up, Dennis?
I'm glad you took my car there. I've been a Giant fan since 1948, and I've been through all the goods and the bads, and Eli sure makes it interesting. I got to tell you that. But I'm an old kicker, so.
So am I.
I did the drop kick, and I was wondering if Jeff ever tried that.
Oh my God, that's so much
my
fun!
My father showed me how to do that in 1946. He played on the All Navy football team, and then I won the game for the Far East football championship with a drop kick. And the referee in 1963, they had to go to the rule book. They didn't know what it was. Well, anyway. The Giants have been blessed over the years with always having good punters and good field goal kickers. And now I was wondering if Mookum Amara is going to play any more this year, or because they said it looks pretty bad.
Well, he's out 2 to 4 weeks at this point. That's the timetable. I mean, they're going to probably have an update once he undergoes further testing in about 2 weeks. But there's the indication, at least as it stands right now, Dennis, to answer your question, that Prince is going to return this season. He's not done for the year.
And if he does come back, let's just say he comes back in 5 weeks, you know, that puts you right up against the bye. It's after the New England game is the bye. So then you come back, you can play the Washington game. You got 1, 2, 3, 4. You still have 5 games left in the season. So, yeah, it's a little blip in the radar, but we'll know more about as it, you know, I had read about what he had said. If he's going to take a couple weeks to see how that feels, and if it's improving, then he knows that he's going to be better. If his injury is not improving, then that's probably going to be the fact where they're going to have to do something to that shoulder. Because right now they're just waiting for it to heal naturally. There's no surgery involved in anything. I think they're just, you know, trying to let it heal itself. But 2 weeks from now, they're going to know a little bit more.
Yeah, well, you know, with all these injuries throughout the NFL, I've never seen so many pulled muscles and strains and everything. And these guys are in much better shape than they were years past, you know, back in the 60s. And I just can't believe it. The guy's going off the field, all of a sudden he's got a pulled hamstring. This guy got a pulled muscle there, a pulled muscle there. It's just, I don't know if it's because of too much weight training or too much supplements or something.
I think that everybody's trying to figure that out. I mean, they got GPS things on guys' shoulder pads now, and they're trying to, you know, they weigh in a guy in every day, and they see how many calories he eats and which way he sleeps at night. Does he sleep on his head? Does he sleep on his back? Does he have his fingers in the air when he goes in the bathroom? I don't know. It's unbelievable to me, right? I mean,
no, it's true.
Listen, they're trying to find out what it is, but in like you had said, it just every week it's like, oh, we got another calf injury. Like this is the year of the calf. Is there a year of the calf in like the Chinese calendar?
Well, I don't know about the year of the calf. I know a few other things.
Yeah, the calf. But it's sure. I mean, we're gonna make it. We're gonna make it a 13th month somewhere there. You know, but it's just crazy. And I think that it's frustrating to players because And I'll give you my quick reason why I think it is just because it's they don't train the way they used to, meaning on the field train, not off the field. They don't get the hitting, they don't get the running, they don't get the contact and stuff that the guys used to get that train their bodies to go in and play. So if they go into practice and they're going 60% in practice, and you expect them to go into a game and do 100 to 105% of what they're doing, something's going to give. And I think that's where these guys are getting hurt. So.
Yeah, I mean, like guys like Frank Gifford that went both ways. I mean,
they
never
conditioned.
Came off the field.
They were conditioned to do it that way.
And I don't recall them having all kinds of strains and everything. If they got hurt, it was like if somebody broke their neck or something, not because they pulled the muscle running down the field or tackling somebody.
Sure.
Well,
yep.
I thank you, fellas, for taking my call. Go Giants, and they're the cardiac kids. I don't know if I can't only watch the half of the game because they don't beat anybody by 30 points anymore.
No, you got to watch the whole
down
game.
To the wire.
You definitely get your money.
A lot
over.
Of close games this season, Dennis. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thanks so much for weighing in. From Dennis, we head to Maine, where we have to speak to Charlie to close out the program. Charlie, what's happening?
Charlie!
Long time caller, and I don't listen.
Yes. Long time caller.
You've been following the Giants since 1938, right? Not 1948.
Right, at least.
Correct. Yes,
hey,
absolutely.
I had to say that. Hey, I look at these next two games as our season. If we lose these two games, the two division games, we'll be 1-3 in the division and 3-4. Which will kick us into a spiraling down to terribleness,
right.
Or we can catapult us with these two wins to win this division. So this is I think these next two games is our season, and this one is a big game, and it's going to come down to can we stop their pass rush because we couldn't do it last year, and we've got to be able to rush the passer this year. We got to be able to get Bradford. So somebody's got to step up. I trust Spags. I think he'll do something. But some individual has to step up and be the rusher, the guy that can get in there and disrupt things. And I hope it's 00. I think he's due for a game to break out. I can't see Ayers coming back after a hammy and just doing a lot. But somebody's got to step up, and we got to be able to stop their pass rush. Because Newhouse is going to have his hands filled with Connor Dowling or the other guy. Whoever that guy was that killed Pugh last year, he's still there.
Well, Connor Barwin is one of their linebackers, who you're referring to.
Yeah, Connor Barwin. Yeah, because he's going to do a lot of rushing. And so we've got to – those are the two areas, we've got to be able to rush the passer. We got to be able to – keep Eli upright. And the stat you were looking at is actually Eli's number 4 in time of getting the ball out of his hands and throwing. Peyton Manning's above him, Brady's above him, and Rivers is above him, but just by seconds, tenths of seconds.
Yeah, so he's a top 5 quarterback in terms of release time.
Yeah, release time.
And it's tenths of a second.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, they're probably all the same number.
About.
It's just a matter of.
Yeah, I forget what it is. One of them is 2.1 and the other one's 2.12 or something crazy like that. So, but anyway, it scares me. The game scares me. Sproles totally scares me. And I think the other thing we got to do, we got to be able to run the ball. This is the week we have to get over 100 yards rushing. Somehow, we got to be able to do that. If we do that, then the pass rush won't be such a big deal.
Well, but here's the thing, Charlie. I've heard a lot of people say, this has to be the week that the Giants have to get 100 rushing yards. But, let's say hypothetically they get 80 yards on the ground, which is what they did against San Francisco, and then they get, let's say an additional 50 receiving yards out of the running backs. I mean, that to me is just as productive if you get that breakdown as opposed to you have to get the century mark on the ground alone. That could slow down the pass rush too.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we got to have a combination, but we got to get, either way, we got to get at least 150 yards between those two things. To me, that way it's going to cut the pass rush down. They're not going to be pinning their ears back. We're not going to be one-dimensional, and that's what we cannot be on for this team. And, like it always, it's going to come down to, turnovers and all that kind of stuff. And, these two games, they're really big. We got Dallas, in a short week. Next week, right after, and
No, it's good. You know what? This is big. I mean, these are two division games. I think this can, if the Giants can win both these games, and it'll be a tough go, but if they can, you know, they distinguish themselves and the tops in the NFC East within the division wins, the opponent, you know, head to head, all that kind of stuff. They really can take a hold on this division going forward, and getting into that bye week in a couple weeks after that. Would really get some guys healthy, and then you go into the back stretch of the schedule with a nice lead in the division. You don't rest on your laurels; you just keep going, and you can see what happens with this division. It's, you know, it's up for grabs, really.
Yeah, this is like the fork in the road to me, you know. And I hope we take the right direction on this. And hey, Jeff, how about Eruption or Panama? Which one?
Panama.
Yeah, I thought so. I always got so many calls for Panama when I was on, you know, radio.
Yeah, when you were spinning that dial for that rock station you told us about. That's awesome.
All right, guys.
All right, Charlie.
Have a good one, Charlie.
Take it easy. Okay, appreciate the phone call. Charlie in Maine, always getting the final and last word.
Charlie, I think Charlie picked up his cell phone at like one of those 7-Elevens, you know, where you can buy them. You know,
the pre-purchase
cell
phones? Yeah, pre-purchase,
like plastic phone, because he had some bad connection problems.
Yeah, he did have some issues. I mean, we heard him here and there. But, you know, sometimes we tune him out anyway, even if we hear him clearly. So that was to get him back for his initial line. Before we close up shop, Jeff, we want to get to your DraftKings three players here. And we should mention before you throw them out there, this is his week 6 DraftKings lineup. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, they offer weekly fantasy football contests with no season-long commitment. So here we go, the week 6 lineup.
Week 6 lineup, DraftKings.com. Here they come. All right, listen, I'm pretty confident in these next two players I'm going to tell you, because, one, they're in first place, and they're on the same team. Andy Dalton, I don't know how you can go wrong with this. I know everybody likes to pick him. It's going to cost you $5,700 though, this week, guys. 11 TDs, only 2 interceptions last week. 31 points Mr. Dalton put up. And you know, they're going up against the Bills, who's 24th in the league in passing defense. So QB Andy Dalton this week. And then staying on the same side of the football with the Cincinnati Bengals, I'm going to go with running back Gio Bernard. By the way, a lot of people don't know this, but Gio Bernard was my son's roommate in college.
How about that? Small world.
So I'm going to pick him this week. It's going to cost you $4,600 against that Bills defense, who we thought was really good. But I don't think the Bengals can cover Gio, and I think that he's a good pick. So $4,600, Gio Bernard is running back position. And then this one's going to probably surprise some people, not only you, but probably me. Hopefully we win. It's going to cost you $4,300, but I'm going with Marquise Wilson. All right, so Alshon Jeffries and Eddie Royal, you know, last week they both got hurt. They didn't play a lot. Who knows what will happen with them this week. And so Marquise Wilson, $4,300. Grab him now. Those are my week 6 DraftKings.com picks for Jeff Eagles. You're Lance Meadow.
Yeah. Well, wait. We've
right?
got to throw
no, I got to close up the shop.
Wait, before you
close. Oh, damn.
We got to get a promotion.
I'm working
here,
on
Jeff.
Hosting the show, and you know, one day I'll be sending us off. But those are my.
It was
picks
premature though today.
I just getting you ready, Lance.
To draft your own lineup, go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. I'm actually going to extend this program a few extra seconds here. A few good tweets that I want to get to here before we wrap up shop
like
here.
Good tweets, yeah.
Yes, we do like the. Tweets. Good job here by Ryan Smith at rsmithnyg, throwing out some of those statistics connected to Eli Manning that we were talking about with respect to time. So this comes from Pro Football Focus. Eli Manning's average time to attempt is 2.21 seconds. That's good for 5th in the NFL. Tom Brady is first at 2.06 seconds. So appreciate you throwing out those stats. Ben Gruen at Gruen. Ben brings up Eli's completion numbers are also a little misleading. Giants have dropped the most passes in the league, so his accuracy has been great when you take that into consideration. That certainly is a good point.
And
as
you know,
well.
The Eagles drop a lot of passes, too.
Yes, they
really
have had
do.
Some mistakes.
I bet they're right up there next to him.
And they've had some mistakes, as you noted, in the red zone. 6 interceptions for Bradford. 3 of them on the season have come in the red zone. Brian Clark at BCNY22. This is a week for Shane Vereen to be huge. That gets back to what we were talking about with him being a receiver. And Donald at T.A. Grockett says he's worried about Beckham running full speed. He seems to always potentially pull a hammy. If he jukes, he's fine, but full speed, he gets hurt. Well, let's see what he does in terms of the rest of the week at practice. I think the goal is get him out there, see how he feels, and get him out on the field, whether he's 80%, 90%, 100%. The Eagles still need to account for him. And case in point, Think about that pass interference, Jeff, that he draws at the end of the last game.
Oh, no question.
I mean, it doesn't matter whether he was fully healthy. All of a sudden, the Niners got into the mode where we got to account for where Beckham is.
Got to
know
where he's at.
And that all of a sudden throws the defense off. So that's why it's so key to have him on the field.
Now listen, I know we got to go here, but I'm looking through this.
You got another stat.
This Eagles media guide here, okay? We get these every week. And so defensive tackle Bo Allen, all right? I was just reading this thing real quick, all right? Check this out, guys.
Oh,
all right, the three must-haves on a deserted island. A Kindle, my favorite pillow, and a case of spotted cow beer. You got to be kidding me. Have you ever heard of spotted cow beer in your life?
I haven't. We'll have to take a poll. Those of you who want to reach out on hashtag Giants Chat. Spotted? You said
spotted
cow beer?
Spotted cow beer. Wow. And I'm a little disturbed that his favorite player is Brett Favre from the Green Bay Packers. I don't know why my name wouldn't be in there.
Yes. I mean, that's an oversight on his part. Bo Allen.
Spotted cow beer.
Got to do a better job on that.
Happy Friday, spotted cow beer drinkers.
Enjoy the rest of your Friday. Have a good weekend. We'll speak to you on Monday as we get you set for Monday Night Football. For Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. Stay tuned to Giants.com for the latest here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got to the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Intercepted!
Touchdown, Giants!